and be glad in him. We give him the glory from the front to the back. And we say, oh God, we praise you. Let's join together. Oh Lord, we say, oh Lord, we praise you.
Love! I come, I confess bowing here, I find my rest, and without you I will fall apart. You're the one who guides my heart. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, that's why we find rest. And without you, we would fall apart. God, you're the one who guides our hearts. Lift those hands if you're here today. Praise your God, 'cause he made a way. He's healing hearts and he's saving souls. Don't give up. I said, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. When you feel like you're about to throw in the towel, just simply tell your God these words, because he's not impressed with how strong you can be. He wants to hear you say, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need. Let's go. Oh.
My Lord,
he wants to hear you say,
when temptation. salvation comes my way.
It's gonna come, but
when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you.
Jesus, now,
Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Temptation comes my way.
In the spirit right now, if your hands are lifted, in the spirit, I literally see the Holy Ghost coming down in this place, picking you up by the hands, lifting you up out of the debris. As the calamity is underneath you, He's showing you this is how you survive. This is how you will make it. I need some Holy Ghost talkers. I'm going to pick you up out of the dilemma and allow you to live to be a testimony that God still is in the working business. I need 50 screamers. I need 50 praisers. I need somebody. You ain't giving him your all. I said he's going to pick you up. I tell you, the end of a post-shape. You're not going to die. You're not going to lose. God the glory.
There's somebody here, you're having fainting spells. Even in church this morning, you want to stand and you're striving to stand. God's going to heal you this morning. If you're dealing with faintness and you lose your equilibrium, I want you to meet me right up here front. We're going to pray for you, and God's going to heal you this morning.
Justness, oh God,
how I need you.
Lord, I need you. Come on.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you.
Let's go.
My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
We're ready for miracle, Lord. I need you.
Lord, I
in the front, get in the river, come on.
There's a mighty river flowing. There's a mighty river flowing in this place.
Pick it up and say it in the spirit.
There's a mighty river flowing. There's a mighty river flowing in this place. There's a mighty river flowing. There's a mighty river flowing in this place.
Oh,
There's a mighty river flowing. There's a mighty river flowing in this place.
Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. There is a river that's flowing.
There's a mighty river flowing.
I gotta get off this mic. There's a river that's flowing, and I need you all. I'm gonna try to behave. I have a crazy anointing, but I want you to get to
there's
the front. There is a river that's
there's
flowing in the spirit, and it needs to touch you. It's full of passion. It's full of a variety of things. Get to the front. I don't care if you don't say, I don't
there's
want you to the front. Come to the front to receive.
A mighty river
you gotta make a move.
In this place.
You gotta make a move. Come save your family within the river. Come get healed in the river.
There's a mighty river flowing.
There's a mighty river.
There's a mighty river flowing in this place.
And he's gonna touch you. Lift those hands and just pray after that.
There's a mighty river flowing.
There's a mighty river.
There's a mighty river flowing in this place. There's a mighty river.
I said, lift your hands.
In this place.
I said, lift your hands. Holy Ghost, do it now. In Jesus' name, Holy
There's
Ghost.
A mighty river.
Take it, Lord. I can't take this home.
There's
take it. Oh, somebody get in here. Holy Ghost, mighty river flowing. I said, mighty river. Oh, Mando Cole. Everything in you that's not like God gets dried up. Healing in your body. Your hands are anointed. Woman of God, walk in your calling. Y'all gotta stay with me, man. Y'all moving too slow.
There is overcoming power.
lift those hands in this place. Lift those hands. Lift those hands. I'm going to remain calm. But God wants to do something for his people. I want you to lift your hands. And I want God to speak to you. For many Sundays, I remain on the piano because that's my job. But I know God when I sense him. And I dare not rush him. We have a time limit. We have a time restraint. But shh, 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 shh. God, do the work now. I need some ushers on the stage very quickly. Move fast. God, do the job now. Revival, revival, revival. In Jesus' name, take it. Oh, corriendo de bohosha. Take it. Y'all moving slow. In Jesus' name, take it. Take it in Jesus' name. My impartation, take it in Jesus' name. Hukodamanda tiyodo de boho. Hitamando shaya. Hitamando de bohosia. Yetamando sho. Madorobaho. I need you to open your mouth as we give this back to our leaders. I need you to shout unto God. Come on. Y'all ain't shouting. To the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Open your mouth and shout. Open your mouth and shout.
Come on. In darkness, it runs, it runs and hides. Yes. 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 Hallelujah. Come on, church, be set free this morning.
Praise. I will sing.
I just asked Pastor if I could share just a little something. I want to show you how great God is. This week I was spending some time. I have a music room. And I was in my music room, and I just came to a place where, you know, I said, God, it's all about you. It's just you and I in here. And I just want to talk to you about who you are. And I started playing the piano and began to bless God. And I said, God, I really, really want to have just a service where we break through and where we meet you. Now that's pretty awesome, but it's awesome that when God hears you, and the scripture all comes in alignment, because the word of God says that God lives and inhabits and he dwells in the praises of his people. But see, here's the thing. So many times we get caught up in what's going on around us, and we get caught up in what we're dealing with, and we get caught up in life, and we get caught up in situations. We get caught up in our weaknesses. We get caught up in our faults. We get caught up in our hang-ups. We get caught in all the other people's hang-ups. And God never changes. I said, God never, ever changes. You know what? God never gets tired. He never gets weak. I want to tell you what, if you're here today and you're praying and you're asking God for something and you're thinking God is deaf, I want to tell you, he is not deaf. The Bible says that he is not deaf and that his arm is not short, that he can't reach out to you. But I want to tell you what, sometimes you got to press in where you go, God, it's just you. God, it's just you. It's about you. It's not about what you can do for me. But it's about who you are. And I prayed that this week, and I said, God, I just want to have a time where we can corporately come. And God said, you know what, David? I saw it happen. He said, David, because you desire that, and your people and my people desire that, we'll go there. We'll go there. God is great.
One thing to go to church, it's another thing to have some church. Amen. I love being in the presence of Jesus, and that's all that matters. Amen. How many of you are blessed today? How many of you took the time to bless God today? It's not just getting, it's giving. Amen. We love you. On your way back to your chair, make sure you say hello to five or six folk you don't know. Come on, A snob. Don't be a snob. Go say hi to somebody you don't know this morning. Shake their hand and say, you look just marvelous. I got a hold of God today. Come on, go find somebody. The Bible says if you want friends, you got to be friendly. Come on, make sure you say hello to somebody. Hey, Ma, how are ya? Hallelujah. Come on, say hello to somebody. Shake someone's hand. Okay, make sure you turn around to somebody and say, good morning, you look marvelous. Turn around to somebody, come on. Don't be a snob. It's good to know somebody. Say hello to somebody. Seconds left to say hello to somebody. Come on, come on, come on. Say hi to somebody. Don't be a snob.
Harvest Fest from 6 to 8 p.m. Let me show you how it's done. This is how we're going to go get candy. You ready? Come on. Come on. How you get the candy. Make sure you're here October 31st for our annual Harvest Festival. Donate your candy. Donate a trunk. Put the junk in the trunk. That's how it's done.
Good morning, everyone. We want to tell you about the three ways that you can give with a credit card. The first way is using your envelope. This is the brand new giving envelope here at His Tabernacle. If you have an old envelope, throw it away. Use this envelope, fill in the card information completely. We need all of it in order to process your card successfully. The second and easier way to give is using your smartphone. You can go on histabernacle.com, click on Give, and create an online giving profile if you haven't already done so. That way, you can save your card, and you will be able to log in each week and give your tithe in that way without having to fill out an envelope. The third, and by far the easiest way, is text to give. Simply text your amount using a dollar sign to the number on the screen. You'll receive a link back in which you click on it, create your giving profile that way, save your card, and then each week you can simply text your amount using the dollar sign to that number and it'll be all done. It's easy to give with a card at His Tabernacle. Thank you so much for your faithful giving.
Awesome. So lots of exciting things going on. Tomorrow night is Trunk or Treat, and we need everyone to participate. So before you leave the building today, go out to the Children's Hub and sign up to do a trunk and fill it with candy. We want to be able to bless the many children from the community and from our own church on this night where this year we really need an alternative. I think a lot of parents aren't going to be sending their kids out on the streets. They want them to come to a safe place. And what better place than God's house to be a safe place and to get blessings? So make sure you don't leave today until you sign up with Brenda at the kids booth and do a trunk with us.
Stay away from the clowns. I really do think it's going to be one of the larger ones because a lot of parents aren't going to let their kids out. So we want them to come to here, amen? So that means you need to fill your trunk with candy. And whoever wins, what they do is we ask you to decorate it. So we have people decorating it so many different ways, cool ways, no ghouls or, you know, vampires or anything like that. It's just something fun for the kids. They come to your trunk, they pull some candy out, and they're going to vote at the end of the night which one they like the best. And the one that wins is going to win a hotel night out, and you can go out and have fun and relax with your spouse. And if you're single, you can go out and have fun and come back single. Amen. We want to welcome all of our guests today at His Tabernacle. We love you. We're glad that you're here. Some of you have changed your seats on me. I want you to know what that does. Kind of messes me all up as your pastor. But we want you to know we love you. If you're a guest, first-time guest at His Tabernacle, we have a gift for you. We're not going to embarrass you, make you stand up or anything like that. But if you're a first-time guest, we'd like you to raise your hand. Someone's going to come right to your chair. Young lady right there. Oh, very good. Young lady in the back. Glory to God. Anybody else? First-time guest? You know, right there. Young couple. Hello. How are you? Very good. We got two coming that way. Very good. Very good. Praise the Lord. Young man, I met you. There you go. Anybody else? First-time guests. Can we give all of our guests a hand clap this morning? I want to encourage you to come three times. Everybody shout, three? Three times if you're a guest. Why do we do that? Because the very first time, you're really not sure what's going on or you're not sure what you're feeling. Second time, you get a little bit sure. By the third time, you'll know whether this is the house that you want to live in the vision with. Amen? You don't marry the pastor. You marry the vision. And so today we're excited. We also want to give a shout out to our online campus. Last week there were 280 computers. There were, I believe, how many from South Africa? Eight people from South Africa watching. That's Jade's family, Pastor Jade's family. They're watching from South Africa. We have people from all over the world last week watching 280 computers. We figure right around 350 people. As well as in the house, we had a booming Sunday. So blessed to have you all here today. We want to give our online campus a hand clap. Thank you so much for being with us. We love you. Get ready. Here's Pastor Rhonda.
Test. Oh, I'm on. We just got back from a Women's Encounter weekend. If you've been to Women's Encounter, could you just stand up real quickly? I was going to say, I know we've had people through Women's. We've had 66 women go through Encounter, and our lives have been rocked. So in one sentence, I want you to tell what God did so they can hear your testimony.
He showed me that God's healing power is real, and it should not be doubted.
A lot. I am good enough.
Amen. I am so loved.
Woo! Obedience is important.
Amen.
I walked in broken and walked out whole.
Our worth is in Christ alone.
Amen.
I don't have to be in control of anything.
Ouch.
He took deep childhood wounds and released me completely from them. I am free.
My destiny is determined by God.
Amen. And mine is just deep work. Deep work inside of every single one of us. God did some real awesome deep stuff. And we are free today. Hallelujah. And you'll see all of these ladies active and serving in the house of God, because that's what the anointing is for. It's not just to sit around and feel good. It's for the work of ministry. Thank you so much, ladies. If you have not yet been to Women's Encounter, you want to sign up. We got to know each other better. We laughed together, and we got free together. Right now, oh, I forgot to tell the best part. We've been doing Women's Encounter. This is our fourth one, and the staff at the hotel just love it when we come. They stand around and listen in to our sessions, and we asked them to. They said, well, they asked, and we said, of course you can listen. Please do. One of the ladies that's been at every single one as an employee of the hotel had come in with her arm in a sling and wrapped all up. She had it broken in three places. And so I showed her my miracle testimony and shared with her that God is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he will do for everyone. And then the next day, Carla saw her and went out and prayed for her. When we ended that, she was waving her arm all around, looking and saying, look what God did, look what God did. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And then she dragged me through the hotel to pray for everybody that she knew that needed prayer. And God's healing power worked in the staff of that hotel. God is still doing miracles today. He is so good. Now, as we enter into the time of tithes and offerings and giving to our King, his word says to bring the whole tithe. Tithe simply means 10%, and that the tithe is holy to the Lord. So that's one reason why we give. Another reason is it says, when you give, it shall be given unto you, and with what measure you give, it shall be returned to you. Now, that's pretty exciting news, but that's not the reason I want us to give. I want us to give out of honor and obedience to God today, because his word is true, every part of it. And we declare every single week Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 is truth. So today, as you prepare to give, let's stand up and let's repeat Deuteronomy 28 and repeat it as our truth. God's word is true. Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button and you can give right along with us.
Forever. People, but let me make sure. Forever, creation and song.
Praise the Lord. How many of you love Jesus today?
I do.
You know, I keep telling people. People say, well, you know, Pastor, if there are more miracles in church, we'd have more people. And you know, the fact is, that's not true. Because you can have miracle after miracle after miracle, but if a person doesn't change their heart before God, it doesn't really matter. You know, you look at the children of Israel, and the waters rolled back of the Red Sea. They walked across on dry ground. The entire Egyptian army was buried in water and drowned behind them. And you know, it didn't change the hearts of the Israelites. Now, I absolutely believe in miracles. Last week, we were able to show you a bona fide, genuine, documented miracle of cancer. My wife was healed of cancer without question. You can't even deny it, even if you wanted to. The pictures, the doctor's reports are right there. And you know what's amazing is last week, this place was packed. But this week, you find not as many folks. Because it's important that you recognize, yes, God loves doing miracles, and God will always do miracles. It is always God's will to heal. But you'll find that that's not what changes the heart of people. They have to be willing to change their own hearts. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear another amen? We are so excited because today I want to share with you what I learned through the experience. How many of you know you got to learn? How many of you know that the devil, he does bad things? Not all of you. I said, how many of you know the devil is bad all the time and never good? But God is good all the time and never bad. But you know, things happen in our lives. The Bible says in the book of Romans that God makes all things work together for good to those that are in Christ Jesus. How many believe that? God can make all things work together for good, but that doesn't mean that all things are good. And it's important that you recognize Jesus will never use what he delivered you from against you in your life. He will never use sin against you in your life. The Bible says in the book of James that God cannot tempt any man with evil, not even possible. So God will never use sin to tempt you or bring a trial in your life. God will never use sickness. Why would God never use a sickness? Because by his stripes you were healed. Why, if he healed you, would he put sickness on your body? It would contradict the very word and nature of our God. And God doesn't want you poor. Turn to someone and say, poverty is a sickness of the mind, actually. Will you believe as you receive? You see, God wants you to recognize that poverty is never from him. It is not God's desire. It was not in the garden, it's not in heaven, and it's not God's plan for you. Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, you and I have been changed. Turn to someone and say, I am changed. If you're born again, shout amen. That means you are now a citizen of two places. You see, you cannot be a citizen unless it's a country. And we have a kingdom. It's called the kingdom of God. You are a citizen of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is different from man's kingdom. God's kingdom is run by the Constitution, called the Word of God, his yea and his amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it's all complete. God's word is truth. Shout truth. God's word is truth. And his truth will always prevail. His truth will make you free. God's truth is supernatural. His truth will trump your facts in your life. God's truth is powerful. We're also a citizen of this earth. We all know that God has called us and said to us that we are his ambassadors. We've been sent here to do his work and will, that we must occupy till he comes. So we're a citizen of both worlds, but yet the citizenship of heaven always trumps the citizenship of earth. And the things of heaven are more powerful. The supernatural is above the natural. So God is calling his church back to a place of believing that the supernatural power of God is some not thought or concept in a religious mindset. But it is real, supernatural, and it is applicable for today. Because God's word is always true. And by faith, you can call those things which are not as though they already are. Can I hear an amen? So today I want to share with you some things that I learned through this event of dealing with my wife and the sickness that she had on her body. You see, I know that without question, we all believe in preparedness. Turn to someone and say, I believe in being prepared. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, I love when God uses examples. Solomon wrote this down, and he said this. He said, Proverbs 6:6, take a lesson from the ants. Now, I'm not talking your father's sister. I'm saying take a lesson from the ants. Has anybody, do you remember when you were a kid, did you watch that movie? Where that movie where the ants were supersized? Did anybody else see that movie besides me and a few? Oh, see, I do. I see some horror flick folk. You know, you saw those ants and they were massive. But, you know, the truth is that ants aren't massive. In fact, you can kill them pretty easy under your feet. Can I hear an amen? Now, listen, you don't want to go bare feet down south when they're those red ants. They're the mean, nasty things, those fire ants. But here we have the Bible's making an example. And the Word of God says this, be like an ant. Now, I don't know about you, but we need to look and see what this actually means. Because the Bible says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. God is saying this. He's saying, listen, don't be lazy. You need to be smart like an ant. Now, I don't know about you. That means he's calling the ant smart and us not sometimes. God is saying, be smart like an ant. Learn the lessons that an ant has learned, and you will be successful in life. If you don't learn and are wise like an ant, like that little thing that you squished when you were driving down the driveway, you're walking over to the pool or wherever you were going, you stepped on that little ant. That little ant didn't go, hey, watch out. But sometimes God is saying the ant is wiser than man. Be wise. Learn a lesson from the ants, you sluggard or you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Well, that means we got to find out what this actually means. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 25 says it this way. Ants, they aren't strong, but they store up food all summer. You see, here we know this fact, and that is that the ant is considered wise because he prepared before the winter came. The ant is called strong. The ant is called wise because it went in its way and it made sure that there was preparedness in its life, made sure that before the winter or the blizzard came, before the hard times came, that there was enough food stored up for it to survive. My wife and I just moved into our new home this weekend, and I talked to the owners, and the owners said, well, you know, we burn 5 cord of wood, and we burn 3 ton of pellets. So I want you to know that before we moved in, I made a decision. I don't want to be cold. So I'm gonna buy 5 cord of wood. So I called up, and I made the connection through the house of God, and bought 5 cord of wood that are being delivered this week. And then I called another company and said, I need 3 ton of pellets. They said, no problem, Mr. Spencer. Where would you like it delivered? And so they're delivering that on Wednesday. You see, before I knew exactly all the details of the house, I made a decision. I don't want to be cold. So I chose to be prepared to buy what I needed before I needed them in my life. There is a need for you and I to get back to being wise as an ant and start preparing our lives because problems come. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. That means the reality is trouble is coming our way at some point in time. But it's not the problem that's the problem. It's what we do with the problem. It's not the issue that trouble comes. It's time to trouble your trouble. But if you don't have preparedness, then you will never trouble your trouble. You will lose your peace and you will struggle. And God is saying it's time for my body to be who I've called them to be. They are called to be more than conquerors, not survivors. Can I hear an amen? So I was looking at my life. I was looking at our life and I realized that I needed to be more prepared. I prepared well. I remember way back in 1991, I was pastoring up in Newfield. And I was back in the country where one day I lost the entire congregation. Everybody started staring out one window over on my right, your left. And I looked and there was a horse staring in the church. I'm talking, we were in the fields where the deer and the antelope played. And here I was brought up in a Bible school that taught us that it wasn't always God's will to heal. And so, as a pastor, I only knew what I was taught. And so here I was. I very rarely saw a healing, very rarely saw anybody set free from sickness in our ministry. And so I struggled with that. And then one day, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth came to our church. Now, you need to know, at that point in time, it cost him $1,000 a day to run his ministry. That was just to run it, with all the missions he did and all the outreach he did, $1,000 a day. And so he said to me, "Brother Spencer, I'm coming to your church as a missions trip." I mean, I was his missions trip. That was pretty good, eh? So here I am. He's come to my church as a missions trip up in the fields of Newfield. And every day that he was there, he made me go walk on the Newfield football field. And we walked around the big football field, and this is what he said. "I want to teach you true doctrine. I want to teach you the word of God. I want to teach you what the covenant consisted of. I want to teach you kingdom principles." And for all those days, he just poured into my spirit. You see, you are the culmination of the seeds that are planted in you and what you are taught. And today I want you to know that at that point I made a decision. I have got to know what God's word says about healing. I've got to know what God's word says about the supernatural. I can't listen to my Bible school anymore. I've got to get into the word of God. You see, today you're sitting in this congregation. You're going to hear words that are being preached from the pulpit. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Whether you like it or not, if you're in the sound of my voice, impartation is being planted in your heart. And you had better make sure that I'm not preaching a false gospel, but I'm preaching the whole gospel. You should be writing down the verses and making sure that I'm not just preaching something to preach something, but that it can be backed up by the word of God. Can I hear an amen? We have a responsibility to be Bereans. That means people who will find out. So here I was. At that point, I started really searching the scripture. Is it God's will to heal? You know what I found? Without any wonder, because you can't do it if you truly study it. When you study the Bible, you will find it is always God's will to heal. Jesus appropriated it on the cross, and if you believe in forgiveness, you have to believe in healing. If you believe it's always God's will to save, you've got to believe it's always God's will to heal. You can't get away from, you cannot separate the blood and the body. That changed my entire life. I started preaching different. I started praying different. You see, you can't, if you don't know it's God's will, you can't pray in faith. You can only pray in hope. God is not moved by your hope. God is moved by your faith. So I started getting into the word and preparing my spirit, getting in the word and building my faith. You see, the foundation that you and I have determines whether or not our house will stand or sink when the winds come and the storms brew. Jesus said it this way in the book of Matthew. Jesus made the declaration. He said, if you build your house upon the sand. Now, he did not differentiate the way the houses look. So we can assume that the houses, the one built on the rock and the one built on the sand, probably looked the same. The issue was not how good the house looked. The issue was the foundation. Because when the foundation is built on sand, when the foundation is built on anything but Jesus, when the foundation is built on anything but the word, that when the winds blow and the troubles come, you'll find that your house will start to crumble. I could fill this house at least two more times with people that have started in their walk with God and walked away from Jesus, not because God isn't real, not because God isn't alive, but because people have not built a strong foundation. And when trouble started to come, their house collapsed and they walked away from God and said, I tried that and it didn't work. You see, God always works. God's word is always true. God cannot lie. God said, it's time to believe that if he spoke it, it is truth. But you cannot believe what you do not know. We so powerfully believe in preparedness. I need some volunteers. There you go, young man. Thank you so much. Where'd Brother Randall go? Brother Rand, Minister Randall, come on up here, please. Minister Randall, hiding like that. Brother Rudy, come on up, Brother Rudy, as well. Come on up here, guys. How are you? Can you give the volunteers a hand clap this morning? Hallelujah. We all believe in preparedness. We all believe, we teach our children this. This is something we're teaching our families at a very, very young age. Now, I would probably need you right about here, if you don't mind. Very good. Rudy, Brother Rudy, can I have you come here? Really good. Very good. Nice suit. And Minister Randall right about there. Now, ready? We're going to practice. Everybody say, I'm going to practice. Here we go. We're going to practice. Ready? We learned this in elementary school. It's elementary, my dear. It was this. If you're on fire, what do you do? on, shout it out. Stop, drop, and roll. How many of you were taught that? So let's practice. Ready? You're on fire. Stop. Drop. Roll. They just lit each other on fire. It's a horrible situation. Minister Randall's got it. He's good. He's out. Wow. He rolled right out the door. How you doing? Should I just call you Sparky and get it over with? Amen. Thank you. Can we give our volunteers a hand clap? Amen. We believe in being prepared. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I remember going to school, and they gave us all this little shiny sticker to put in our windows. And then they said, make sure you sit down with your mommy and your daddy, and you practice, if there's a fire, where do we all meet after we get outside the house? We believe in fire preparedness. We believe in making sure that we're taken care of. We believe that if there's a catastrophe dealing with a fire, that things are going to be placed in order. You know, they're doing something nowadays that's just, I mean, it was never when I was a kid, but it's now terror safety. Now they're doing preparedness with terrorism. Now they're taking the kids and they're teaching them to lock the doors and get behind desks in case somebody comes in and starts shooting everything up. We believe in preparedness. We believe in hurricane preparedness. We just had a hurricane go through Florida and the Carolinas. And, you know, you'll find a hurricane preparedness route. It's called an escape route. And they got everybody on that. Why did they do it? Because everybody was prepared. You see, you can't figure things out at the last moment without causing a freak situation. How about, has anybody ever seen that movie, that tornado movie? Everybody goes, the tornado sound alarm goes on. How's that pretty good? And everybody goes and runs to the bulkhead that's out by the house. They go deep inside and they lock it from within. Why did we do that? Why do people do that? They're being prepared before the event occurs that is going to cause trauma. They're making sure that everything is in order because you can't wait for the moment of trauma to come, the moment of terror to come, the moment of problems to come, and then be prepared. You've got to be prepared beforehand. Can I hear an amen? We talk about, you know, everybody running around and just, you're like a chicken with your head cut off when you're not prepared. And as a believer, we do this all the time. As Christians, this is something that's normal in the body of Christ. We've come across this situation, and it's not in this church, and it's all literally all across the nation. Every church is dealing with the same issue, and that is this. My friend has a church of 6,000 out west. And in that church, on a given Sunday, if they get 4,500 of the people in church, they're very excited. In this house, last week, Pastor Dan was telling us, we ministered to 1,300 people. Out of the 1,300 people on a given Sunday, if we get 750 to 800, we're doing amazing. What's happened is the body of Christ has gotten out of preparedness. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it was God's plan and how to make his church successful. And he said they remained steadfast in the doctrine of the apostles. What's happened in the Christian world today and why so many people are walking away from their faith, we have it happening within our college age crew at the most enormous rate that we've ever seen. I'm not talking in this church, but across the nation. Young people are leaving their churches, they're going to college, and within the first year, they're walking away from their faith. Why? Because they were not prepared with the word of God and what they believe to be able to stand when somebody's coming against it. We have got to have a revelation. We have got to have an illumination. We have got to have an awakening within the body of Christ. We must be prepared. And as believers, as citizens of heaven, our preparedness does not come by the things of the natural. Our preparedness comes as we know God's word, because God's word is that yea and amen. It is that firm foundation that no matter what happens around you, no matter what circumstances, no matter what situation, God's word is always firm. He said, I change not, and that is who he is. The body of Christ has gotten away from the preparedness. We prepare for the world. Stop, drop, and you
you'll just find that so many of us take God's kingdom in lesser respect than the natural world we live in. Here's the challenge. When you and I are not prepared in the Spirit, when you and I are not prepared in the Word of God, when you and I are not prepared for what God says about the situation in your life, there's only one area that now you can turn to. The only area you can go back to is what you understand yourself, or trying to get somebody else to help you who themselves are finite. Therefore, they cannot truly help you, for they don't have the capabilities of getting themselves out of their own wet paper bag. It's not that minds aren't brilliant, but let's be honest. The world we live in is in problem because of the minds that are in the world. We've got to get back to the Word of God. And if we don't get back to the Word of God and get prepared in the Word of God, then when a trial hits your life, you will not be prepared for it. And if you're not prepared for it, the only thing you have, the only harvest you have, is what you've sown for. And if you're sowing in the flesh, then you can only reap of the flesh. If you sow in the Spirit, you can only reap of the Spirit. We must have a revelation. We see, when she became sick, I didn't sit back, and the doctor's report, they were real. They were valid. We got them on paper. There was a malignant cancer in her colon. And they said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to cut this, 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 and this. And my wife and I, we looked at each other, and I'm going to tell you honestly, our breaths were taken away at first. But there's one thing for sure. Once you get your breath back, you'll realize what you're standing on. And if it's on sand, you're in trouble. But if it's on Christ the rock, if it's on His word, then you have a stability that nobody else has. Listen, the doctor said this, the doctor said that, and we honor the doctors. They're doing the best they can with their finite minds. They're doing the best they can in their capability. But I serve a God who is the great physician, and my God is bigger, my God is greater, my God is more supernatural. The doctors of this earth are blessed and we appreciate them, but our God is the supernatural one who can bring a miracle and bring a healing. We looked at each other, and that is when you find out what your foundation is. See, if you've never studied healing, what happens if a severe sickness comes in your life? The only ones you can rely upon are the doctors who are practicing medicine. We have physicians in this church, and we honor them and respect them, but they're still practicing. The only thing you can rely on if you haven't and do not know your foundation is what somebody else knows or what you know. And if that didn't get everybody in trouble in the first place, let's be real. So here we have abundance amount of believers. Not a small amount of believers, but an abundant amount of believers who go to church maybe once a month, twice a month. Boy, I tell you, I thank God that there's a group in this church that go to church every single Sunday. Those are the people that are going to be solid. And then they come to Rock Solid Faith. Everybody shout. You don't even know what you're shouting for. Here we go. Shout step one. Come on, shout step one. Everybody in this house should be in Rock Solid Faith if you haven't already graduated. Can I hear an amen? We believe in preparedness in the world, but when we look at God's kingdom, we don't take it serious. But it gets serious all of a sudden when the bank starts knocking on your door when you don't have enough money to make your mortgage payment. And the only thing you know is, I've got to go find another loan. I've got to go do this. I've got to go find something else I can accomplish. I've got to go work three jobs. I can't see my family anymore. I can't breathe anymore. I can't do anything anymore. Listen, we've got to get back to the foundation of the Word of God, for God's Word handles every situation. There's not one precarious situation that is not in the Word of God, that God doesn't give an answer for, but you'll never know it if you don't know the Word. And if you don't know the Word, then the only thing you can rely on is the arm of flesh. And if you rely upon the arm of flesh, then you're going to have continued problems. You see, this is where we have got to make a decision. Because you can only harvest what you've sown. So if you only go to church once a week, if you only go to church every other week, when your world starts to rock, the only thing you have is the world.
And if man could fix the world, we wouldn't all need to vote in another month. This world is in trouble. But the church is in trouble. Because the church is more governed by the world than they are by the word. And what's happened is if we don't have a revival of the word of God, we don't get back to believing God's word. We don't get back to sowing into God's word. We don't get back into building a true foundation. Then we're going to be in a position that when everything starts to rock and reel around us, instead of reaching up, we're going to reach down. And if you reach down, the only thing you got there is what you once had. But when you reach up, you have the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. You have the God that said, "I part the Red Sea." You have the God that said, it all depends on the foundation. So what I learned was, thank God I built a foundation that it is always God's will to heal. It wasn't something that I just learned or heard from somebody else, but I got into the word myself. I said, God, what does it say? What does it mean? What does your word declare? And when I found out what it declared, that even though the doctor's report came back, I remember the doctor's second report, when I met with him, my wife was not there. When I met with him, he looked at me and he said, good luck. Good luck. I tattooed everything that needs to come out. And I looked at him and said, well, thank you, sir. Because he did what he was supposed to do. He was a good doctor. But I served Dr. Jesus, and I didn't make that declaration. I said, by your stripes, she is healed. By your stripes, that cancer is gone out of her body. In the name of Jesus, we will not tolerate sickness or disease, for Christ carried it on Calvary. I do not have to sit back and allow that as part of my covenant rights. And the next text, listen, the same guy that came out, and he did all those tests, you could see all the nodes, His examination that declared cancer, when the biopsy came back, it said no cancer. We walk by faith and not by sight. But if your faith is built upon man, then you have to believe the doctor. If your foundation is man, you must believe the doctor. But if your foundation is the word of God, then no matter what somebody says to you, no matter what the declaration is to you, no matter what is brought down the pathway to you, you know this one thing. If God said it, he cannot lie, and he'll bring it forth. My God will manifest the supernatural, and truth will trump facts, because my God is more powerful than any fact on this planet, and I don't need to survive here. I've come to be an overcomer here. I can't hear you. Shout amen at least. See, you've got to know what you believe, and where you're sowing is what you're going to reap. You're pulling this go to church every once in a while thing. Let me tell you something. You're sure going to wish you hadn't when hell starts licking your toes. Those are the calls I get. Pastor, help me. Sometimes I'm not nice. You don't mind if I confess that. Somebody will call me on the phone and say, Pastor, I'm having a financial issue. And I said, do you tithe? No. I said, then it's your issue. Have fun. Because if you're not a tither, you're the God of your own finances, so therefore, be the God of your own money. But if you're a tither, he makes a promise. And I can stand on the promise, and no matter what anybody else says, my God's obligated to come through, and God cannot lie. See, this is where we make a decision who we believe. Whose report will we believe? Do we believe the world or do we believe God? Do we believe the Bible or do we believe our circumstance? But you see, all of that is being determined upon the foundation that you're building your life upon. If it's not on the word, then you're building it on sand. And if you're building your life on sand, the storms will come and you're going to have a survival moment in front of you. You've got to be prepared. Stop, drop in. You know what's interesting? My cousin was a Marine. Now, I used to beat up my cousin Scotty all the time. And I used to have fun beating him up. Then he went into the Marines. And he came out of the Marines and he said to me, hey, you want to wrestle? And I said, sure. I'm thinking I'm going to whoop on this kid.
He grabbed me and wrapped me up in this little ball, and he put his armpit right in my mouth. It was really gross. And he says, you know, I learned how to kill people in so many different ways. I love you, Scotty. But he said one of the things he learned when he was in the Marines was when you grab your tray at the mess hall, your arms have to be tight in. And you walk through like that. If your arms are not tight in, then his drill sergeant, I don't know about any others, but his drill sergeant would knock that tray right out of his hand, and he'd have to go without food. And he got frustrated. He said it only happened once. And he got frustrated, and I don't know how he found out, but this is what he told me. He said, what I learned was that even in the mess hall, they were teaching us muscle memory. He said, because that's how you stand when you're holding your weapon. That's how you stand when you march. They were teaching us in the mess hall how to automatically react without any question. You see, God wants to bring muscle memory to your spirit, but you cannot have muscle memory unless you're willing to be an athlete and at least practice the principles of God's word. And all of a sudden, a sickness comes in your life, and your first reaction is, I thank you, Jesus, that you are my healer. A problem comes in your finances. I thank God that I'm a tither. And Lord, it's your responsibility to get me out. I'm faithful in all that I do. You have problems in your marriage. I thank God that you are able, Lord Jesus, to touch my spouse, to bring a revelation knowledge to them that I can be set free and our family can be healed. I thank God that you'll save my child. Why? Because I learned how to pray and bind up the devil who blinds the mind of the unbeliever, and I cannot have my children in Jesus' name. We learn muscle memory with the foundation that we're establishing. So what happens is this. If your muscle memory is only what is done in the flesh, then your first reaction has to be fleshly. If you're wise like an ant, you'll be prepared before the winter. And you'll make sure that you're learning the principles of God's kingdom and your covenant rights. So when trouble comes your way, instead of it destroying you, you can trouble your trouble. You can look it in the eyes and say, my problem is not my problem. It's what I'm going to do with this problem. And in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. Here's what the word says, and I will not be moved from the word of God. For God's word is truth, and it will bend every fact that's in front of me, because God is yea and amen. And if he said it, it is so. God cannot lie. Oh, pastor, your wife got the miracle because you're a pastor. That is so stupid. My name is Michael Spencer. I was a bad child. I was born April 2nd, 1966. I think I still have calluses from my whoopings. I was in trouble all the time. And even when I went to Bible school, there were bets put down on how soon I would get kicked out. I almost got kicked out, but I didn't. No one ever thought. But you see, I determined to bring change to my life by studying the Word of God. Not in classes only. I took my time and I studied outside of Bible school 4 hours a day while I was in Bible school. I would get up at 5, study till 7, go to breakfast, go to Bible college classes. At 3 o'clock, I'm out. From 3 to 5, I'd study the word 2 more hours. Then I would go to supper. Then I would go hang out with my friends. My other friends, they were just so much into hanging out with everybody that they didn't study any extra. I made a determination that I was going to build the right foundation, because when you got the right foundation, it really doesn't matter how bad the storm is. Every one of us have got to determine what we're studying. Listen now, we went through it in the first of the year. Time has to be sown. Every one of us have the same 24 hours. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your job is. Every one of us have the same 24 hours, and we have the same responsibility. But where you sow your time is what you're going to have for a harvest. If you spend no time in prayer, you spend no time in the Word, you spend no time in the house of God, I don't got time. It's not that you don't have time. You have other priorities. And when they're priorities of the flesh, when trouble comes your way, that's all you got for a harvest. Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil, which means you've got to pay attention to your time. We know you can sow the word, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and spirit, and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is supernatural. The word of God is alive. It is that rhema word that is made alive in your spirit. You see, your faith is a theory until it's tested. And what comes out of theory is what you built as a foundation. If you're not in the Word of God, you're not sowing time in the Word, then you cannot be shocked when you don't have faith. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to sow your time in prayer. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe, and you shall believe. Believe that you will receive them and you will have them. You see, the word believe there is an action word. It means faith. Faith in what? Not faith in a thought, but faith in God. You see, you don't have trouble. You don't have problems. Have faith in God. It's time to recognize, no matter what situation, have faith in God. But you can't have faith in a God that you do not know. You cannot have faith in a God that you don't know what he says. You cannot have faith in a God that you don't know his laws. You do not have a faith in a God that you don't spend time with. And when you know your God, it don't matter what the trouble, you can stand back fearless. In Jesus' name, put your shoulders back and lean forward in the name of Christ and declare, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It is not theory, it is truth, and the truth will bend and trump your facts. You having problems in your money? Malachi chapter 3, 10 and 11, bring all the tithe to the storehouse, that you may have food in your house, that there may be food in my house, is what God says. Try me now in this. You realize it's the only place in the scripture that God says, try this and I'll prove it to you. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. God is saying this, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he might not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit from you for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. It's amazing how many people don't tithe. Actually, in the national average, only 9% of Christians tithe. In this church, we're at a high, I believe, about 15% of the body of Christ here tithe. Do you realize why people don't tithe? Fear. That's the main reason most people don't tithe. Well, I can't afford to tithe. Well, you know, you can't look at the word and not tithe. But people don't want to tithe because they're afraid, or because it's so much in the arm of flesh, they don't want to trust God. Listen, if you trust God with your spirit to get you out of the lake of fire, then it's easy to trust God with the finances. Can I hear an amen? Where you sow, you shall reap. Where you sow, you shall reap. Sowing for your health. The Bible says in James chapter 5, 14 and 15, if there's any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over you, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. This is what we usually hear. Pastor, I wasn't there on Sunday because I wasn't feeling well. What? You don't believe the word. You don't believe the word. This is the issue. The body of Christ, God's children, don't believe the word of God. We don't have a foundation that when our life starts getting shaken, that our house won't be decimated. But I want you to know this. God is faithful. God is good.
He is a good, good father. Can I hear an amen? He loves you with an everlasting love. He will never fail you. He will never deceive you. He will never throw you away. My God is faithful. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth. It's time to recognize you can trust God. You can trust God in every area of your life. It's time to be a sower in every area. It's time to be a person that's going to build a foundation that no matter what happens in your life, you're not going to be destroyed. You'll not be dismayed. You'll not be confused. You'll not be bewildered, but you'll have a faith like a lion who will stand back and look the devil in the face and say, you've already been defeated. The problem's already been defeated. And with God on my side, I cannot fail. It's time to recognize you are not just making it. You're going over the top. If you don't know that, then there's a lot of problems. This is who you are. Who you are. It's time to rise up. It's time to get your foundations right. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, it's time to get your foundation right. Some of you are having problems in your family. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 through 9. And these words which I command you to this day shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign in your hand. They shall be like frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them in the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I want you to know something. I knew my kids didn't have a choice to serve God. And I'll tell you why. In this manner, everyone has a choice. But the pressure was on. Why? Because in our house, they were scriptures everywhere. My wife put verses everywhere, so my kids couldn't get away from the Bible. My kids would speak something bad, my wife would turn and say, go write down, let no corrupt communication come out of my mouth, only that which edifies. My children know that verse. Why? They've written it so many times. You sow the word into your children. There's a great move across American parents right now, that's especially in our area that I can see, and that is you'd rather take your kids to a sporting event than get them to the house of God. You're teaching them that God is not the foundation, that sport is. What happens if they break their ankle? They're out of sports. What happens if they don't get into the NBA? What happens if they don't get into the NFL? They're probably not. Now you've got no foundation for your kids spiritually. They get to college and they walk away from Jesus. Don't wait till the trouble comes to prepare. Get into the Constitution. Know the Word of God. And when you know this, I tell you something, everything changes. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And the answer is already on the way. I can sit back and not worry. I can sit back and not fret. Man, that spirit of fear will try to come on. But in the name of Jesus, the Lord has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And I want you to know that when the anointing is on the word and God's word is anointed, that you can look at every situation and call those things which are not as though they already are. And you don't have to be defeated. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in anxiety. You can live in faith and walk by faith and not by sight. And you will please God. For God says, those who worship me, those who come after me must have faith that I am, and I will reward them because they do. It's simple. It's simple. What is your foundation? If you don't know the word of God, man, you got to be like an ant. They didn't wait for winter to prepare. They prepared. Oh, pastor, I can't get Tuesdays off. I can't get Wednesdays. You can live stream on Tuesday, or you can watch it on live stream. You can watch archives. There's no excuse. We've eliminated every excuse from you growing in Christ. Well, I don't think I believe. Well, then that's your problem. Then all you have is the armor of the flesh. And let me tell you something. When you can find somebody that's smarter than you, there's somebody smarter than them. But then after a while, the very wisest person on this planet is still ignorant to God. I serve a God that's powerful, and I refuse to submit to a man. I want to submit to my God. Amen? So today, if you want victory, you've got to prepare for battle. And the only way to prepare is to be like an ant and get persistent and learn. Learn. When problems came, My foundation was set. I'll be done here in a minute and a half. Foundation was set. Do you know what we did after that? When the doctor gave his report, we both grabbed a book. It's called F.F. Bosworth, Christ the Healer. We started devouring that book. Every night, we didn't turn on television. We'd turn on A.A. Allen videos on YouTube. We turn on Oral Roberts on YouTube. We turn on, what were some of the other ones? L.K. Dodge. Did we find any L.K. Dodge? We were looking at the Voice of Healing guys in the 1950s. And I sat there and we watched that. We put on Kenneth Hagin's healing tape every night so it was playing while we were sleeping. And all he was doing was quoting verses for an hour and a half. You see, that's just what we did to continue to build off the foundation, because your faith is theory until it's tested. But if you have no foundation, what are you building on? Where's your foundation? Do you know God's will for your life? Do you know God's will for healing? Do you know God's will for demonic activity in your life? Do you know God's will for finances in your life? Do you know God's will for your spouse in your life? Do you know God's will for what he wants for your family? Do you know God's will? You got to build the foundation, because God's will is easy. You ready? 2 seconds. God's will is easy. Know the word. Amen. I said amen. I said amen. Stop dropping. Stop dropping. Stop dropping. Know the. Know the. Know the. Stop dropping. Stop dropping. Stop dropping. Know the. Know the. Know the. Know the. Know the. Muscle memory. You got to get it in your spirit. You'll be changed forever. You'll walk different, talk different, live different. Because God's promises are yea and amen. He cannot lie. Bow your heads with me this morning, today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm not asking you to join a church or a religion. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to be part of the citizens of heaven. I want you to be part of the kingdom of God, and God's promises are for you. You see, today, if you don't know Christ, you have no promises. You have no covenant with God. God doesn't have to hear you or listen to you. He's obligated to listen to his children. He's not obligated to listen to someone that is not. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you want him in your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. If you want Jesus in your life, I'd like you to raise your hand up. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. Yes, I see all three of you. Thank you very much. Four of them. Hallelujah. Anybody else? I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3. Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you, honey. 2. Last call. Thank you, ma'am. We had a lady get saved in first service. She'd been watching the His Word TV telecast for 1 year, and she was at Rock the City. And this morning she came and gave her heart to Jesus. Last call. Get your hand up. Thank you, sir. 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Saints, there's no question you love God or you wouldn't be here today. My challenge to you is not that you don't love God. My challenge is, what's your foundation? Step 1, rock solid faith. Say that with me. Step 1, rock solid faith. Turn to someone next to you and say, have you completed rock solid faith? If they have not, you need to join step 1 this week. If you can't be there in person, you can watch live stream Tuesday night. We have a Tuesday night at 7, Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. for those who work overnight, and Thursday night for 6 p.m. You'll never be the same again. I'd like the prayer team to come to the front of the altar, please. This morning, if you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to take one more step. I want you to grab the person next to you, maybe that brought you, and say, I raise my hand and I'm going up front this morning. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to meet me right here, right now. Come right out of your chair. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Say, be bold, be bold, be bold. Amen. Be bold, be bold, be bold. God's going to change your life.
Very proud of you, honey. Very proud of you.
Come on, give him a hand clap. Come on. Jesus' name, their life never be the same again. Never be the same again. Never be the same again. You're saying, I don't like being in front of people. Jesus said, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father. But if you exclaim me before man, I'll exclaim you before the Father. So I want you to know you're positioning yourself really, really good. I mean, Jesus is going to look at daddy. Hey, that's your kid. That's your kid. I know there were more that raised their hands. Come on, be bold. I'm going to give you just 3 seconds. One, come on, come on. One, two, three. Very good. Let's pray right out loud right now. Pray right with, will everybody pray with us? Dear Jesus, today I'm making a decision to be your child. I know that I'm a sinner, but today that all changes. I confess that you died. I confess that you rose from the dead. And right now, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Come into my life. Wash my sins away. Make me a child of God. In Jesus' name. I'm never going back to the world. There's nothing back there for me. I'm only going to build a foundation that cannot be shaken. In Jesus and the Word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give him a hand clap this morning? Amen. This is Mindy, and she's going to pray with you, and make sure you get Bibles. If you'll follow her right on over there, follow Mindy right on over that direction. Hallelujah. Father, I release a blessing on the house in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I declare no sickness, no disease in their households. I declare God will be a testimony and be able to lead someone to Christ this week for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost, put a hungering in our heart for more of Christ in the Word, that we'll be established in you, that no matter what troubles come, we will not be shaken for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted. I said everybody shouted. If the prayer team's around the front of the altar, if you need ministry, we love you. Serve God with all of your hearts.